This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
The praying mantis will kill and eat hummingbirds. Is that true or false? It is absolutely true.
What?
You're telling absolutely me a shtick of a creature?
Things are about to get ugly. That's going to leave a mark.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio to co-host this program is the, I guess I'd call you guys the A-team. Ed Battagliano, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm glad to be on the A-team.
J.J. Jasper, how you doing, J.J.?
I'm doing great. Wonderful to be here.
I don't know. If I call us the A-team, then if you guys, one of us is out next week, then they're going to come.
That's like the B-team.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So that would make them feel bad.
I'm okay with that.
And hurt their stuff.
Somebody has to sit on the bench. Yeah, you got major league, you got minor league.
You know, you guys got a point there. I think I'll just tell them if we got, replacements next week or the week after that.
Use two initials, JV.
Right, JV. You hope to work your way up to the starting lineup.
There you go.
But we're just not going to hand it to you.
We're not snowflakes here at this ministry.
Right.
Everybody doesn't get a trophy
Everybody doesn't get a trophy at Learning University. You're listening to Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. Hey, before we jump into Trivia Friday, am I correct to say that the pastor in Turkey has been released to come home to the U.S.?
Breaking news.
Yeah, Andrew amen.
Brunson. 2 years held in prison. He was facing a 36-year sentence. And President Donald Trump, who gets things done, he got him released from Turkey.
And Vice President Pence had a large role
absolutely.
To play in that, too.
Absolutely.
So, praise God. This is wonderful news on this Friday. Again, Pastor Brunson in Turkey will be coming home to the U.S. Jay Sekulow worked on this. Vice President Pence and certainly the president.
Can you imagine how excited his family will be? Two years without your spouse and your dad.
And staring at, like you said, 36 years in a Turkish prison.
Yeah. Right. Let that sink
in. It's not Club Med.
Amen. All right. So here's how we play this. It's Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. If you're new, on Fridays we take an hour and a half and we do things here. We ask questions. We get answers. We talk amongst ourselves. And Ed, you have our list of objectives here this hour and a half, don't
absolutely.
You?
We seek to make our listeners smarterer.
Yes.
Betterer.
Yes.
And awesomer.
And awesomer. In fact, you say even more awesomer sometimes.
Yes, even more awesomer.
More awesomer.
Yeah.
Right there. So.
More betterer.
Betterer, smarterer, and awesomer. And that's our goal during this hour and a half. Now, here's how we do this. I'm going to give you the phone number. Don't call if you've called in the last 4 weeks and got on the air with us. Please give other people a chance to get on the program. A four-week waiting period between calls here when you get on the air with us.
And we'll know if you've not waited 4 weeks, because our folks don't know. We are watching you through your radio.
Right. And it's new technology
yes.
that we have access to. And so we're now teamed up with Google and Facebook, Amazon, and AFR.
To know your every move.
To watch you. Here's the phone number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Now, we're live video streaming this here show at Facebook. Facebook and YouTube, you just type in today's issues, and you can watch the show if you'd like to. And interact with other listeners. Just go to Facebook or YouTube, type in today's issues, and watch the show live from our studios here in the media capital of the Western Hemisphere, Tupelo, Mississippi. Yes, sir, Tupelo, Mississippi. Okay, so if you're watching, you'll see that Ed, JJ, and I are holding up our Trivia Friday t-shirts. And Ed, why are we doing this?
Well, we're doing this for two reasons, Tim. First of all, if someone answers the mystery question, we'll explain what that is in a second, you'll win one of these beautiful t-shirts, Trivia Friday, Learning University t-shirt, plus a bottle of
Redeem clean.
Thank you.
Not a bottle of whiskey, Ed. We're a Christian radio network. Get
That's
it right.
right. Not a bottle of ketchup. A bottle of Redeem Clean laundry detergent. But if you would like to just own one outright or get multiple T-shirts, you can go to afastore.net. And these T-shirts are $15 a piece. They are bulletproof and stain-proof. You won't even actually – no, they won't. You'll have to use
your
laundry detergent.
Well, you can use
your
Redeem Clean.
Yeah.
You can use your Redeem Clean laundry detergent to get the stains out if any should occur.
Right. And they are beautiful. They are very nicely done. They have our caricatures on them. In my case, I actually look better than in real life.
About 25 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, 25 in there somewhere.
But who's counting, right?
No. And, yeah, they only put one chin on mine. So I'm happy about that one right there. So, anyway, all right. So, by the way, the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, which any purchase of that supports our ministry, you'll also get a bottle of that.
Yes.
As well as the T-shirt. So, for more information on Redeem Clean, go to afastore.net, afastore.net, or the T-shirt as well, afastore.net. Now, one question, if answered correctly, you will hear this sound. Yes, the beloved cowbell will ring, and all the world will know that you have won yourself a T-shirt because you've answered the mystery question correctly. Now, the mystery question is, we're not going to tell you. That's right. Thought you had me going there. Thought I was going to stumble on myself, make a mistake, but I didn't. Because the mystery question is just that. We don't know when it'll come up. We don't know when it'll be answered. It's a mystery.
It'll be one of the questions that we ask. We ask three apiece.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be one you have to, you know, use telepathic powers to answer. It's be one that'll be asked here. So, go ahead, Ed. Did telepathic. Did I mispronounce that word?
No, you got it.
No, I just realized I wasn't sure that we've actually...
We do.
We did. Okay, we have one already selected. Okay.
And it's one of the original... The original nine questions.
Okay.
The first nine.
All right.
The original nine questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So here are my three questions. First of all, what word is said to be the source of the nickname Bubba? What word is said to be the source of the nickname Bubba? Question number two.
And where did that originate? What region of the country?
We had last Friday, I think JJ had asked a question about Roman numerals. So I've got several of those for the next couple of weeks. So the Roman numeral X has the value 10. What value does the Roman numeral L have? What value does the Roman numeral L have? Third question, Bible question, what is the shortest book in the New Testament? Not by height, but by length. What is the shortest book in the New Testament? That was a little bit of a joke there, but obviously too little.
No,
to garner a reaction.
I was getting my preparing how to pronounce my question.
Okay. Here's what I've got. First question, who wrote the Star-Spangled Banner? Who wrote the Star-Spangled Banner? Second question, what widely celebrated festival is held on the day before Ash Wednesday? What widely celebrated festival is held on the day before Ash Wednesday? Third question, true or false? The 19th president of the United States, Rutherford B. Hayes, had six fingers on one hand. Is that true or false? The 19th president of the U.S., Rutherford B. Hayes, had six fingers on one hand. True or false?
You know that. That'd probably give you some kind of unfair advantage in sports, wouldn't it? Don't you think? Huh? I'm just thinking the advantage. I know you'd be, you know, people would be saying, what in the world? You got six fingers, you know. But, I mean, I think it could work in your favor.
There's the deal. We can't really remember what Rutherford B. Hayes done as a president, but his wife said he was the best back scratcher ever. And he could play notes on the piano that weren't even there.
All right. Here are my three questions. All right. Who came up with the three laws of motion? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was the...
Don't give the answer.
I'm pretty sure this is not the answer.
Okay.
Somebody that had something to do with Lazy Boy.
I think Grant,
Grand, who wrote the song Locomotion.
Grand Funk Junction.
Was that it?
I think it was Grand Funk. I don't know if the Junction was in there. I think that was a TV show.
Grand Funk Railroad was the name
of
the group.
Yes, Grand Funk Railroad. JJ's got it.
My 8-track.
You know, everybody's doing the Locomotion.
Yes.
My 8-track player, I had Grand Funk Railroad right next to the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
Yes,
I did.
But Grand Funk Junction, that was a little Papa Joe or whatever. It was tied to Green Acres.
Yes,
it was. That show.
All right, who came up with the three laws of motion? That's a serious question.
Yes.
From the world of science. Number two, which U.S. city has been hit by more tornadoes?
Wow.
There is one city in our blessed country that has suffered more from tornado strikes than any other. What town/city is that? Number three, and it's a well-known, town.
But it's not mentioned in the brochure at the Chamber of Commerce, and the realtors, you won't hear a peep about it.
Right.
Hey, when they try to bring businesses in to recruit them to town, they don't mention this at all. And they probably don't bring them in the spring either. All right, so here's my third question. What is the largest animal on Earth? What is the largest animal on Earth? Not on Saturn. What is the largest animal on Earth?
I'm surprised you didn't make a joke about me, Tim.
Besides Ed. Yeah. All right, there are my three questions. Let's get started here.
Let's go to Arkansas. Hannah is on the line. Hannah, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, how are y'all?
Actually doing very well. Thank you for asking, Hannah. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'd like to do both, please.
All right, which question would you like to try to answer?
The shortest New Testament book of the Bible.
All right, what is the shortest book in the New Testament?
The Second John.
It is Second John. Very good. Excellent.
Nicely done.
It's a close race. It's a close race between Second John and Third John. There's one verse difference.
One verse. See, I didn't know that. Very good. That's what.
Different.
That's why we. That's why we study
now,
and.
Now, are we measuring by words or are we measuring by verses?
I think by verses.
By verses, yeah. Which could be different than.
It could.
By words.
Yes.
So actually, the shortest Bible book could be longer.
I think technically that could. Yeah. If you know, you get one of the apostles that use really small words.
I think I shared this with you guys, but the churches have the alternatives to the Halloween, and they have the Hallelujah services, fall festivals. They told everybody, dress up as something pertaining to the Bible. So this husband and wife stopped by the hardware store, and they each bought a toilet seat, and they showed up in their street clothes, but they both had a toilet seat draped around their neck. About halfway through the party, the Sunday school teacher said, okay, you got me. I've racked my brain. What on earth does this have anything to do with the Bible? He said, I'm First John. She's Second John.
Hey, man. Now, Hannah, where else are you going to go to hear humor like that?
Yeah.
My husband's bathroom reader.
Bathroom reader.
Hannah, that's going to save you and your husband some money on y'all's costume for the Hallelujah party this year.
I don't think the bathroom reader thing is a compliment.
You think she was taking a shot at us?
I think so. But
Hannah, was that a compliment or were you taking a shot at us about the bathroom reader thing?
No, he has at least three bathroom readers. I'm not joking.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Hey, Hannah, what's your question for us?
Okay. It's a three-part question. What is a female ferret called, a male ferret, and a group?
All right, hold on just a second here. Did you say ferret?
Ferret.
So a male ferret, a female ferret, and a group?
A group of ferrets?
Yes.
Hold on. Let us talk amongst ourselves here, okay? Don't answer. Don't say anything.
Well, the male ferret is called Bubba, I think.
In Arkansas, it is.
Hey, I'm not going to be any help at all. I have no idea.
You know, ferrets.
About any of it.
I had a class on that.
A class in on college. Ferrets?
Yeah, it was kind of like it was. You could choose between tennis or ferret.
Yeah.
Ferret. I don't know what
the
it was
sport,
called.
You mean? Or are you talking about the animals?
Listen to this with a grain of sand, students.
So anyway.
Listen, yeah.
I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Apparently, I should have been. I knew it would come. Here we are, the time in my life when my paying attention in ferret class could have helped. And,
yes.
And I didn't.
That's right.
I will say, maybe like the mole or whatever, apparently the ferrets are good about rooting things out and digging or whatever, because we've used that in our lexicon. You say, hey, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to ferret it out.
Ferret it out.
So at least I got a little bit of credit for that as an animal.
JJ, that was very clever came up with right there.
Yeah.
Now, but we'll find out whether there's any truth to what you said by asking our caller.
Okay, Hattie, you've stumped the panel. What is a female ferret, male ferret, and a group of ferrets called?
A female ferret is called a jill, a male is a hob, and a group is called a business.
A what? What's the group called?
A business.
A business
a
of
business.
Ferrets.
A business of ferrets?
Like taking care of?
Yeah. Like taking care of. So a jill
BCOB,
and a hob.
Baby. Me and Elvis.
Add that to your bathroom reader question.
Hey, you know, she said the female ferret was the jill. I saw somebody on their thing, on a Facebook thing, and they said they were a jill of all trades.
Instead of a jack of all trades?
Yes.
That's clever.
I thought
that was
really
clever.
Good.
That's
and
clever.
I have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening to AFR.
All right.
I got all Arkansas I wanted yesterday. I love people in Arkansas.
But that drive to Branson?
We drove from, Ed did it too. We drove from Branson to Tupelo.
That's a windy drive there. The first part of that coming out of Arkansas, a lot of switchbacks.
There is no good way to get there from here. I mean, you can do four lane for about 4 hours, then you got three hours of, I didn't even know they made two lanes through mountains anymore like this.
Yeah, morning when you and I were kind of griping about it, you said, of course, now our forefathers, pilgrims and pioneers went coast to coast in a wagon, that took 6 months or something. And here we are going, I was on cruise control and I had to keep switching down to 45.
I know. A beautiful country.
It was really pretty drive
up to the Ozarks there, but you got to pay attention, or you're seeing more of the Ozarks than you want to see.
Yeah. Hey, you guys were talking about being there and being with the listeners. My wife Melanie and I joined Bert Harper and his wife Jan. This week we were at the Pastors and Wives Retreat in Linden Valley, Tennessee, the Fishbowl Retreat. So I want to say hi to a whole lot of new friends, 35 pastors and their spouses, and hopefully they were encouraged and inspired and refreshed. And if you're not doing so, we want to encourage you to pray for your pastor and their entire family.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. And by the way, Ed and I say hello to all the folks a couple hundred folks we spent time with.
It was a blast. Yeah, I had so much fun.
We've got the best listeners.
Big Cedar Lodge there in just south of Branson this week. All right, Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Continuing on here, Ed.
All right, we go to Texas. John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, guys, it's John from Cut and Shoot.
John from Cut and Shoot. Now, is this first John, second John, or third John?
I think you said
did I say that last time?
Fourth or fifth down here. So, hey guys, I got a deal. Your university there, I know it's expanding and all this.
Yeah.
And when you go to bring in languages, I was going to help you with Japanese, okay? There's a word that I learned when I lived there 2 years. I was in the Air Force. And so when you were talking to a Japanese native person, they had a term called, you want to know how if you did something right or something like that. Anyway, they had a term called mobeta.
Mobeta?
Mobeta.
Actually, when the GIs were there, they would say more better, but the Japanese turned it into mobeta.
Mobeta. So you think that's what we should start telling people, that we want to make them mobeta?
Well, it would be a foreign language.
Yes, it would be Japanese. I like that.
Yeah, right.
Hey, John, which one you want to answer, and do you want to ask and answer, or do both?
Oh, I want to do both.
All right, which question do you want to answer, John?
Okay, I want to do, I'll take this, the Who Wrote the Star-Spangled Banner?
Who Wrote the Star-Spangled Banner?
Yes, it was Francis Scott Key, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You got right. it.
All right.
What's your question for us?
All righty. let's go to a deal. The you know what the crash is when I talk about that? The manger scene?
Yes.
They call it the crash. Who was got credit for developing that, and in what year?
Wow.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
So who invented the idea of having like a manger scene, the you know the nativity scene? They call it the creche. And so who invented it in what year is what John is saying. Do you guys know?
No clue.
Is it over 200 years old?
Oh yeah.
Okay. What do you think? I've got no clue.
Bill.
Bill?
What was his last name? Yeah.
Bill Ferret. Wasn't it Bill Ferret?
Bill Ferret.
Hey, we had one of those manger scenes, the display out at Christmas time several years ago. And I walked by one day and I looked, and there, you know, Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus and the wise men, a few animals scattered around. One of our children had put a plastic shark about the size of everybody else. And I thought, man, I don't know how that fits into your theology. But I took a picture of that, put it on Facebook, because I thought there's never a dull moment in your house if you've got little ones.
Shark week.
Hey, we're stumped, John. Who came up
I'm
with that?
I'm surprised we're stumped, but we are.
Okay. It was St. Francis of Assisi.
Oh,
okay. So he came up with the idea of having a nativity scene?
I've been to his home.
Yes.
And he never mentioned a thing about it, did he?
No.
He's very
well.
He doesn't brag.
It didn't help that he was dead when I went there.
Oh, so you actually visited his home?
Yeah, in Italy.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
Assisi is a town there, not too far from Rome, and he's their most famous citizen, favorite son, you know, St. Francis.
Right.
And it was in the year 1223. The reason why I bring that up, of course, you know, we got Christmas coming up in the future, right?
Yeah.
But he developed it to counteract. There was like some gift giving at that time. People actually in 1223 had turned it into a secular holiday. And so he wanted to bring Christ back in to the Christmas season.
Good. Oh, all right.
And St. Francis of Assisi, his feast day is October the 4th. We just got through celebrating it. So I thought I'd bring that up because it was so close to St. Francis of Assisi Day. So.
Okay.
Hey, right. Thank you, John. Thank you for listening to
AFR. That's some good trivia.
And have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Brother John. That's Brother John, right?
Well, yes, Brother John. You know, the thing about that town was, I was talking about St. Francis of Assisi, is that the guys there weren't totally, you know, real macho, masculine guys. And so somebody who would come from that town, they would call him, hey, look, he's a Assisi.
He's a Assisi.
So that's kind of how the town got its name.
The cleverness is kind of slipping here. that was you thought that through, Ed.
I'm still tired from driving all those cutbacks in Arkansas.
Ed, you've been hanging around JJ too long. Got your corn going on there. Anyway, we'll continue to insult one another when we get back from the timeout. Thank you for listening to Trivia Friday. We got a whole bunch more questions and answers coming up in just a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It was USA America night at the Hartnett Central High School football game in North Carolina. Fans were encouraged to wear something patriotic. One teenager wore a football jersey with President Trump's name on the back and the number 45. Apparently, a number of football fans were offended by the jersey and caused a disruption. Instead of dealing with the unruly fans, the principal of the high school told the teenager to remove his jersey. Mike Collins tells reporters his son complied with the principal's demand, but he was humiliated. Mr. Collins is a registered Democrat, but he had no problem with his son wearing a jersey supporting President Trump. The school district tells me the principal handled the incident incorrectly. They said she's already reached out and apologized to the boy and his family. They stress the incident was not politically motivated, which is at face value laughable. It was entirely motivated by politics. I'm Todd Stearns.
Brian Fisher here. Today, we'll interview the executive producer of the powerful new movie about the nation's worst serial murderer, Kermit Gosnell. The Talking Snake Media says a mob is not a mob unless it's made up of white Republicans. And we call Facebook out for blocking prayers based on scripture. Next on Focal Point.
Welcome back, little Sanford and Son from the 70s, right?
Yes.
I'm coming to visit you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm coming, Elizabeth.
I'm coming to visit you, my heart.
What do you used to call his son? What was the insult he had for his son?
You big dummy.
Big dummy.
Yeah, you big,
big
dummy.
Big dummy.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a lot of bonding there. There wasn't a lot of good energy there between it. It was comedy.
It wasn't the Waltons, that's
no,
for
no,
sure.
No, it's funny. All right, Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We're about to repeat our questions and then get back to the phones.
Absolutely.
By the way, you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net. Comments with an S, comments@afr.net. Thanks, everybody, for listening to American Family Radio. Hey, we got our share-a-thon coming up next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so please pray about that with us, if you would. That's our fundraiser we only do twice a year. So if you believe in the ministry of American Family Radio, please make a gift and be as generous as you can to help us. We're passing the virtual offering plate next week, so pray with us about that. Let's repeat our questions, gentlemen.
All right. Here I have two original questions. I'll add a third. What word is said to be the source of the nickname Bubba?
Mm-hmm.
What word is said to be the source of the nickname Bubba? All right, we had Roman numeral questions last week. I'm going to add one. The Roman numeral X has the value 10.
Yes.
What value does the Roman numeral L have?
L. Okay.
That's right. All right, and third question. In the NATO phonetic alphabet, what word is used for Q? You know, you have Alpha, Bravo. What word is used for Q in the NATO phonetic alphabet?
Like North American Trade Organization?
No, North American Treaty Organization, NATO, the military organization.
Like military aviators, when you say Kilo, Charlie, Delta, Foxtrot.
So what does what mean again?
Q. What word is used for Q?
So if they use Q, like talking among themselves?
Right.
And they say, hey, what about the Q? What are they talking about? Is that what you're asking?
Well, they're given the tail number, or they're given a locator for what region they want to go to.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like if a policeman is looking at a license plate and he's reading it off to somebody, he'll say Alpha Bravo Charlie 610.
Gotcha.
So that you go, what, are you saying B? You saying B or T?
B or D? I got you. Yeah. Okay, go. Go ahead, JJ.
Here's what I've got. First question, what widely celebrated festival is held on the day before Ash Wednesday? What widely celebrated festival is held on the day before Ash Wednesday? Second question, this is true or false. The 19th president of the United States, Rutherford B. Hayes, had six fingers on one hand. Is that true or false? And then I'll add one. What phrase did the Texas Army shout during battles, and it was a popular rally cry? What phrase did the Texas Army shout during battles, and it was a popular rally cry?
Okay. Here are my three questions. What is the largest animal on earth? Very simple, direct to the point question. What is the largest animal on earth? Number two, what U.S. city has been hit by the most tornadoes? And I would just add, bless their hearts. What U.S. city has been hit by the most tornadoes? And as JJ said earlier, you will not find that, you will not hear this from the Chamber of Commerce of this city.
It's not on any brochure. No.
Please
at
come
all.
Visit.
No tourism. Host your convention here. Nothing like that. They don't mention this.
They thought about putting that at the bottom of their license tag. They thought about it for 1 second and then said, nope. Not
the home of
it.
The most tornadoes in the country. Number three, who came up with the three laws of motion? This is this gentleman here, widely known as the greatest scientist to ever live.
Mm. Actually, four laws if you include the hokey pokey.
Yeah, or,
but that's a whole lot of in and out.
Yeah, I just got the first three.
Okay, first three.
So back to the phones, Ed.
All right,
let's go to Todd in North Carolina. Hello, Todd.
Well, good morning, everybody.
We've been praying for you guys with Michael coming through Florida, Georgia, and now the last thing you need in the Carolinas is more rain. And so just know our country is praying for you. And how are things where you are, Todd, in Seagrove?
Not too bad. We lost power for about 3.5 hours yesterday, which really, when you get right down to it, I mean, that's nothing compared to what the people in Florida had to go through with Hurricane Michael coming in at the 155-mile-an-hour, you know, wind. So it was just the people down there really, really need our support.
Todd, did you see the picture of the video of Jim Cantore and that am I talking to? Who am I talking to?
Todd. This is Todd from Seagrove, North Carolina.
On the news, did you I know you're sight impaired, but I'm talking about, did you hear or pay attention to, I should say, Todd,
Jim Cantore,
the Weather Channel, and this guy from NBC, and they were trying to stand up in this 155-mile. The NBC reporter almost went flying, and there was a 2x4 that came right by their head.
Oh, wow.
And I thought to myself, you know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Jim Cantore. He braves the elements to go anywhere to do the reporting. But at some point, you're being stupid. You know what I'm saying? Totally to stand out in 155-mile-an-hour winds with debris flying around.
Any of those things, anything flying around can become a deadly weapon, deadly instrument.
Yeah. Well, and as Todd mentioned, nearly a million without power there in Florida, so we certainly need to pray for them.
In Georgia.
Too. Yeah. Todd, ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I would like to do both.
Which one you want to answer?
I'm going to take a shot at Tim's question about tornadoes.
Okay, which U.S. city has been hit by the most tornadoes, Todd?
This is just a guess. Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Wow. Really?
I'm cl- clapping for a correct answer, not for most tornadoes rolling through Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City
I wondered
hit by the
Kansas
most tornadoes.
Or somewhere there in Tornado Alley.
Todd, that was a good guess. How did you know? Because every year there's some report about a tornado hitting somewhere around Oklahoma City.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like it just seems to be a constant thing for those poor people there, you know. And I know that particular city is also the home for one of the oldest Christian ministries in the country, with the Southwest Radio Church.
Yes, yes. And you know, we had some friends move out there about 3 years ago to Oklahoma City, and they built a house, and their house has a storm cellar in their garage, so that you underneath the garage,
you don't have to go outside to the cellar.
That's becoming more and more popular.
People are putting those in their closet
in that part of the country because of so many tornadoes. Oklahoma City is the correct answer. Todd, you are correct, sir. What's your question for us?
Well, I have a Bible question.
Really?
This is coming from the New Testament. My question is, who was the first disciple to call Jesus the Son of God?
I believe it's your first New Testament question ever.
No, I've thrown a
have
few
you?
New Testament
okay.
questions.
Well, I know Peter, made a declaration of faith that really impressed the Lord. Which disciple was the first to call Jesus the Son of God? I'm going to go with Peter, but I mean, at different times they all, gave him different labels.
Yeah. Let's see now. In John 1, did Nathaniel this seems like it's going to be something
like when they were going
question.
When they were going Andrew was going Phil, to get Simon or one of them
did
were going
call
to
call him the,
and say come see the Son of God. You may be right.
I just don't know this.
Can anything good come out of Bethlehem or Jerusalem?
Todd can be a little tricky sometimes.
I'm
going to go with Peter because I know that he did. So
Peter,
what about you?
Peter.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go with Peter, Todd.
Okay, what about you, Tim?
He's going with Peter as well.
Yeah, I'm giving in to peer pressure right here.
I think you could be right, Ed.
I'm just not sure, but I am sure about Peter.
I kind of don't think we are because Todd wouldn't have asked me what my guess was.
Right.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Todd.
Yeah, probably
a little
not right.
Psychology.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead, Todd.
Well, the thing about this, actually, Ed was right around the periphery of the answer to the question. It was actually Nathaniel.
Okay.
Nathaniel?
Us when he said that, because that was when they were saying, come follow me, and they were talking to their brothers and the different ones.
Well, actually, there in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, this is whenever Jesus first meets Nathanael, because I think it's Andrew, was the one that introduced Nathanael to Jesus. And, of course, Jesus said that Nathanael was an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And, of course, Nathanael says, how do you know me? And Jesus says that, I saw you under the fig tree. And everything, and that's when he says that, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ed, you were
well,
there.
Well, I wasn't sure though.
I thought that might be good. That's good, Todd. Well, thank you for always reading your Bible and thank you for being a blessing to us and calling in to Learning University. Have a great weekend, Todd.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
All right. Yeah, Todd's always he doesn't always ask Bible questions, but he asks some frequently.
Almost in a very challenging.
Yeah. All right, let's continue. Where we go next?
Let's go to Alabama where Andrew is on the line. Hello, Andrew.
Hey.
Ask, answer, or do both?
I'm just going to ask today.
Okay, what's your question for us?
All right. How many seconds are in a year?
How many seconds? Oh.
That's good.
12. Hang on a second, Andrew. Isn't this one of those where it's 12
yeah,
seconds?
January the 2nd, yeah. February the 2nd. Yeah, 12 seconds.
Nope. It's actually seconds.
It's what?
How many seconds are in a year?
So you're talking, this isn't a trick question. You're talking about how many seconds in a minute and,
how many minutes in an hour.
Who are we talking to here?
This is Andrew.
Andrew, hold on just a minute. Okay? I think we can come up with this.
We can?
Yeah, give us about 23 hours. Just, if you want to go, you know, after your dinner or whatever you want to do, just come back and see if we're ready to answer this question.
All right. Obviously, we don't have our calculator warmed up. Andrew, what's the answer?
Well, in a regular year, is 31,536,000 seconds.
Are you sure about that?
If you add,
are we just going to take your word for it? How can we verify
that? If you add in a sleep year, there's 31,622,400 seconds.
All right, Andrew. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Hey, and now Andrew's definitely into numbers.
Yeah,
that's
when you said, "Are you sure about that?" It made me think of a funny story I heard about how some people, no matter what, they can't be pleased. And there was this old codger, and he was at the bank, and he cashed a check, and it was for $300. And the teller handed him big bills. No, I want it in $1 bills. So she slowly counted it all out. So he wanted to count it himself. And she was like, "You just saw me counting it slowly." So he just took forever, and people were behind him in the line on a Friday at the bank. So he slowly counted out 300 $1 bills. And so the teller said, "Is it all there?" He said, "Yeah, but just barely."
You know, speaking of getting in the line behind the wrong people, I know I'm going to offend some folks right here, and I don't intend to, but...
It happens. It's part of life.
Well, the grocery store or Walmart, particularly grocery store, and you get caught behind the coupon lady. You know what I'm saying?
You're talking about the lady who's serious about coupons.
Yes. I'm not talking about one.
Right.
Or two. I'm talking about they get out their pocketbook.
Yeah.
And start pulling them out, and they got 100 things in their basket. And 50 of them have coupons attached to it.
And sometimes it's like, okay, this is a coupon for 30 cents off, but then here's another one. It's double coupon if it's, you know, the second Tuesday of the month. And
I've seen cashiers quit on the spot. I don't have to do this.
Enough. They don't pay me enough. I'm going to get replaced by a robot anyway.
They are saving some money.
I know. I mean, I'm not making a moral judgment about their
soul.
You just
don't
want
to be behind them.
I just don't want to be. But what's bad is, you know, JJ talked about Seinfeld moments, is when you only realize that when they're one ahead of you until they get up there. And then you got two things.
Yeah.
And then you look behind you and there's two more people with baskets full of groceries.
Right.
So your choice is sit there and take it and watch. Or quit and go put your stuff back on and come back another time. You know what I'm saying?
Or take a chance on going into another line and you don't know who you're going to get behind.
Right. Now, just now, as I said recently, learned to use those self-checkout things. Have you seen those?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have.
You use them, do you?
I don't. My wife does.
Yeah.
And she mocks me because I don't want to use them.
I know. They're scary. They're intimidating at first. And I tell you, it takes you 3 or 4 times to do it to where you lose that fear.
They're cantankerous, too. You know, it's like I put something in a bag and, you know, whatever they say, you know, alien item detected.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Just put it back.
Yeah.
Put it back down on the
you got something.
Sensor.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Back to the phones.
All right.
Let's go to Mike in Oklahoma. Hello, Mike.
Morning, guys.
We're having some sympathy for big city there in your state having all those tornadoes.
Yeah, Mr. Todd, he answered the one I was going to answer. But
you absolutely knew it, being from Oklahoma. Well, do you have another one you feel confident about?
Yeah, I'll do I'll do the other one of Tim's about the three laws of motion.
Okay.
And
you're going to have to sing. You're going to have to sing the song.
Everybody's doing the three laws of motion.
Come on, baby.
You made me do that, Ed. I know that's going to come back to haunt me sometime in my career, probably with my board of directors.
Hilarious
Tim, did
highlights.
Did you really sing this on the air?
Hilarious Highlights, okay. Volume 6.
Yes.
We've already got one selection for it.
Who came up with the three laws of motion? That's the question.
That'd be Sir Isaac Newton.
Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
That's right. Sir Isaac Newton. Do you know what they are?
Well, Yeah, I know one of them. Let's see, an object in motion can tends to stay in motion.
Yes.
And let's see, another one is an object. I think it's an object stays the same speed or what, unless acted upon by another force.
An opposite.
Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one other one. Yeah.
The other one is, you put your right foot in and shake it all about.
I thought that was the fourth law.
That's the fourth law.
That's a hokey pokey. That's not the locomotion.
I know one law of motion that I follow, and what? That is after 50, you don't use a hula hoop. That's just for smart people.
For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
There you go. That's it. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. That's
good job. Good. Good job, Mike.
You have a question for us?
Well, yeah, I do. That's a Bible question, too. What Old Testament prophet went around naked and barefoot for 3 years?
All right, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here, Mike.
His family wasn't proud of that, I'll tell you that, if you read on.
I think it was Elijah.
It's either Ezekiel or Isaiah.
Oh, that's right.
One of those two. I want to say it was
Ezekiel. Had a tough skin.
Yeah, tough skin. Yeah. Well, you guys know for sure.
Let's go with whichever one you feel.
I think it was either Ezekiel or Isaiah, but I'm gonna say Ezekiel, Mike.
It'd be the other guy, Isaiah.
Oh, Isaiah. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Chapter 20, verse 2 and 3.
Okay.
Now, folks, for those of you listening, God told Isaiah to do that.
Clearly.
And if you think God's telling you to do that today, I'm telling you he's not. Okay?
You're pretty absolute about
that's
that.
That's right. God is not telling you to walk around naked.
No?
I don't know how he got through the winter without being frosted or the summer without being roasted.
Right. Yes. Right. There are a lot of things like that and like you know, the kids making fun of the ball head and saying baldy, and then he called some bears out of the woods to devour them.
I think Ezekiel, maybe it was Ezekiel that cooked some dung out in the seat in the city street
Come again?
Or something. Yeah, cooked some dung. I'm just using the biblical term for that,
you know,
to kind of talk about what the judgment of God.
I think you need to follow the lead of Joel Osteen right here.
Your best.
I don't always agree with Brother Joel, but he doesn't ever talk about this stuff. Why you?
Huh? Hey, full Mike. Counsel of God.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening to AFR.
You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Let's repeat our questions, fellas.
All right. What word is said to be the source of the nickname Bubba? Second question, the Roman numeral X has the value 10. What value does the Roman numeral L have? Third question, in the NATO phonetic alphabet, talking about NATO, the military alliance with Europe, in the NATO phonetic alphabet, what word is used for Q? So you have Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. What word is used for Q?
Here's what I've got. First question, what widely celebrated festival is held on the day before Ash Wednesday? Second question, true or false? The 19th president of the U.S., Rutherford B. Hayes, had 6 fingers on one hand. Is that true or false? And then my third question, what phrase did the Texas Army shout during battle and was a popular rally cry? What's that little phrase that Texans say and that little rally cry that they have in battle?
Okay, here are my 3 questions. 2 of them have been answered. What is bubble gum made of? Never wondered that question?
Huh.
Probably not.
It's not bubbles.
But what? True.
Yeah, right.
You got that. Wipe that off your answer list. What is bubble gum made of? That's my first question. All 3 of my. Oh, here's what is the largest animal on Earth? And my third question is, I found this very interesting from the world of science or animals. How much can an ant lift? And by that I mean, how much
times its weight.
Own weight. Hmm. Yeah, right, JJ. So how much times its own weight can an ant lift? This is fascinating.
Are you implying that an ant is stronger than the uncle?
Is this a gender thing? No.
You're talking about the animal.
Yeah, the animal. The ant or the insect. Is an insect an animal? That would be my next question.
I don't know. I'm still tired from driving. So you can probably tell I'm a little off my game.
How much can an ant lift, Ed, beyond its own weight?
Right.
Not an uncle. All right. Back to the phones.
All right. We go. Where are we going, JJ?
Brian in Texas. Howdy, Brian.
How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I'll do both, but I got about 5 minutes before I got to walk into work. So
all right. go quick. Which one you want to get?
Well, I was going to answer the one about the largest animal, but since it's a Texas question that JJ had, I'll go ahead and answer that one.
What phrase did the Texas Army shout during battle and is a popular rally cry?
Well, you didn't actually specify because in the Battle of Gonzales, they actually shouted, come and take it. But the one you're probably talking about is Remember the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo.
Like there you go. Good job, Brian.
San Jacinto. And then beyond that, Remember the Alamo.
Yes, and they also shouted, Remember Goliad, because there was a battle. Well, there was a massacre at Goliad.
Oh, yeah. Good. Hey, listen, do you have a quick question for us? We don't want you to be late for work.
Sure. As far as the Battle of the Alamo, supposedly Travis, William Barrett Travis, the colonel, he drew a line and said, anybody that wants to stay, you know, we have no reinforcements coming. Anybody wants to stay, cross the line. And everybody crossed it but one guy. And that guy supposedly escaped and went to a part of southeast Texas, actually where I'm from. Do you know the guy's name, and where did he escape to?
I don't. I've read the story, and it was the very last person there. Was it Davy Crockett? Was he one of the very last ones?
Well, he died there. So
I mean, I know, but one of the last ones, you know.
What was it? Repeat the question real quick. I think I got the answer.
Yeah, he said, everybody stay. If you want to stay, you know you're going to get massacred, but one guy chose to leave. Who was the person that chose to leave?
Go on.
And where did he go?
I think that was Steve Miller sang about that.
Oh, Steve Miller Band. Huh? Oh, man. Hey, we don't know. You better tell us so you don't. So you're not going to be late for work, Brian.
I'll be all right. Davy Crockett, you were asking about him. He and about, I think, six or seven other guys had surrendered, supposedly, and they were brought before Santa Anna, and he said, no, you know, he told his guys to kill him, so they shot him. I'm not sure if actually Davy Crockett was in that. There's dispute about that.
Okay.
Thought that he might have been one of the guys. But that's not the guy I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a Frenchman named Louis Rose, and supposedly he was from Louisiana. He had volunteered for the war because he was expecting to be paid and figured that he could get a better payday if he wasn't dead. So he decided to escape, and he went down to not my hometown, but right next to my hometown, Port Lavaca, Texas.
So. Okay.
Interesting. Right. Wow.
Very interesting. Luis Rose. All right, Brian, go into work. We don't want you to be late.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
So you're saying take the money and run?
Take the money and run. Yeah. Steve Miller sang about that. Bobby Sue? What was the name of the... Anyway, we'll be back in 5 minutes, folks. You take care. If you got to leave us, like going to work, like our last friend... If not, come back. We got another 25 minutes of Learning University straight ahead. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.